You know, Matthew, I used to live in a port of call, and it's kind of a different experience from the other end. I lived in Sitka, Alaska, which gets a lot of cruise traffic. And in these small towns, they announce the numbers every day. So they come on the news, on the radio news, and they say, oh, today we've got these ships in, and we're expecting 1,852 passengers. And that has different reactions in town. There was a cafe owner in town on the big days with 3,000 passengers. She would close and put a sign on the door that said, outnumbered.
That's great.
So those big ships are certainly an option, kind of a big floating resort. But let's talk about the less common types of cruise, smaller ships especially. National Geographic comes to mind. Kind of a different experience there than the big 2,000-person cruise liner.
Totally different experience. I used to work on the Baltic Sea for National Geographic as an expedition leader, and we could get into places that no one else could get into. That's the beauty of small ships. They're usually focused on education, and you can usually get to places that the people that are on the big ships can't get into. So if you want to visit small ports and get behind the scenes a little bit, you're going to have a better chance on a 250-passenger ship with National Geographic or Cork Expeditions or American Safaris.
Any of those smaller lines.
Yeah, those are three great lines. The other options are the tall ships.
When you say tall ship, I picture tricorn hats and climbing up into the crow's nest. Is that the kind of ship you're talking about?
Arr. Yes.
Maybe a little more pleasant than a pirate ship.
Yes, these ships will actually bring their sails up during the day. And they're not small necessarily. Windstar and Star Clipper have 150 to 300 passengers. So, I mean, that's small compared to the big lines, but it's still quite a few people. But they're beautiful ships, and they'll bring up these beautiful sails. And in the evening at sunset, you'll be cruising, drinking a glass of wine. I would think that's a very nice way to go. But if you're even looking for a more intimate experience, then you might want to check out Island Windjammers.
And these are small boats where you're on with a few couples or maybe just a handful, like
exactly.
A dozen or so people.
Exactly. You have a private chef, you know, it'd be a great way to go.
What are the price ranges we're talking about?
Anything from probably $2,200 to for a big cruise line, for a cruise up to Alaska during kind of the shoulder season, to $10,000 to $20,000 for an Atlantic crossing on National Geo.
It sounds like the most important decision I can make if I'm thinking about going on a cruise is simply to know in advance what kind of experience I want, and then select accordingly.
Exactly. So if an in-depth educational experience is what you're looking for, I would highly recommend National Geographic or Cork or American Safaris. If you're looking for just kind of mindless fun, head towards one of the big cruise lines. If you love the water and love the sea and love the idea of sailing, head towards, you know, Windstar or Windjammer, or take a look at one of the island hoppers down in the Caribbean. That's a great way to go. And if you like the idea of packing and unpacking only once and you want to go to Europe, consider taking a river cruise down the Danube or up the Rhine or maybe down the Rhone. I mean, those are beautiful trips.
Lots of options.
Lots of options. Tons of options.
Matthew Brumley, thank you.
Thank you, Ed.
Matthew Brumley is the founder of Earthbound Expeditions, and he joins us every week to talk about travel. If you've taken a cruise, tell us how it was. And if you want to take a cruise, we have more resources to help you make your decision online at kplu.org. I'm Ed Ronco.